This is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Today I'm excited to be here. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. It's a continuation of Eric's great message last week on the dung flinging of the Lord. We're going a little bit past that. But if you didn't hear Eric's message last week, go online and listen to it. I'm serious. Go online and listen to it. It was out of Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, basically. And it was a message that told us how to deal with things that we're going through. And I loved it. I told Eric, I said, man, powerful message. I've shared this with many people at work already. And by the time I sent that text message and Eric responded back and I sent him a text message 5-10 minutes later, I said, I just had opportunity to share it again with somebody. Because when we go through things, we have to understand, Lord, why did you have me go through this? Why am I dealing with this stuff? A lot of things happening around the world. And we wonder, Lord, why are we going through these things? I was in Midland, Texas last week. I told you guys last Sunday that I was out there for a little bit. When I was out there, there was a tragic car accident. Killed 9 people. There were several members of a golf team that were on their way to a golf tournament. And a 13-year-old kid driving a pickup at a high rate of speed veered into their path and both vehicles burst into flames. And I thought, man, 7 out of the 9 people in the van were killed. The 2 people in the pickup truck were killed. Lord, they're from a Christian university. Why did that happen? Anybody in the last month question God, why is this happening around the world to me and our community and our family, whatever? And I thought, man, why? 6 young ladies down in Tishomingo lost their lives this week in a tragic car accident with a semi. Lord, why? God, could you not give us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 extra seconds before that tire blows out? Before the vehicle comes down the road and impacts the car? God, why? I mean, we're talking seconds. Seconds. Lives are changed forever. God, please. A few extra seconds, no? Way back in the day, Diamond Rio had a song. They played at funerals a lot. Oh, what's the name? One More Day. It says, why not one more day? One more day, one more time. Maybe I'd be satisfied. The lines in the song go, Lord, could I have one more day with a loved one that's gone? And then the lines say, but then again, I know what it would do. It'd leave me wishing for what? Still one more day. One more day with you. And we have to face the fact that in life, there is death. But man, what do? When we want that one more day, and the Lord says, man, it's not for you to know the time, it's for me. And we're asking how and why did this happen? Job asked the same question in Job chapter 38. Lord, I've lost everything. My body is in misery. Do you remember what God told him? He told him in Job 38, he told him, now prepare yourself like a man. I think he's telling you, get ready. Prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you. And you shall answer me. That's what God told him. Prepare yourself. Every one of you, prepare yourself when you question God. And I will question you, and you shall answer me. We don't get to pick that day and the time and the manner. God does. So God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know what he said to Job after that? Surely you know. God doing a little power move there. He said, I know, I was there. Did you measure how big it needed to be? Oh, you're a man of wisdom, of knowledge. Prepare yourself like a man. I'll question you, you'll answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations? Surely you know. I thought, man, it's one of those three words. Surely you know. Surely you know. Surely you know. You brought these questions. We can put the emphasis anywhere we want. But the point was, God said, surely you know. You've come to me as a man of wisdom and knowledge, and you're questioning me. Whew. We've got to think about that. So Luke chapter 13, I'm going to try and get us to help understand that. But it's to say, when these things come about, when we're faced on these things, you see, Christian colleges, they aren't protected from tragedies. Good Christian people are not protected from tragedies. Remember a couple of weeks ago, righteous men are not protected from falling. But the Lord says the righteous man will get up. He will fall seven times and he will get up seven times. So in Luke chapter 13, we'll be in verse 22 is where we'll start. We'll drift off into Luke chapter 14 as well. As we go there, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad.
Oh, there we go. I thought for a second this thing pooped out and wasn't working. And man, whew. We have to rejoice no matter what we go through. We don't have to be grateful for this, but we have to be grateful for a God that gives us a way to deal with these things. By the way, good to see Caleb back with the family. So Luke chapter 13, verse 22, and it starts out and it says, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? Grasp that question. Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Church, did we grasp that? Many are going to try and get through that narrow gate. Many. But few will be able to get through it. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out in their presence. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and they will sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there will be those who are last that will be first, and there will be those who were first that will be last. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go, tell that fox, Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Well, that sounds familiar. It sounds like the same thing in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, much smaller verse. And it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by and get in that gate, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it. And then also in Matthew 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, there's this big giant road. And a gigantic gate where there's no traffic jam trying to get in. And many people easily get sucked into that gate. And you have to purpose in your heart, I'm not going that way. People are pushing me this way, but I know I've got to find a way to swim upstream. I've got to find a way to get to that narrow gate and purpose in your heart. That's where I'm going. Ground Zero, we're going through Daniel. And it said they purposed in their heart. And from the get-go, the young man said, this is how we're going to be. You see, we serve God and we will be faithful to Him in the things we do. It talks about the narrow way as well. In Matthew, it talks about Jesus not letting everyone enter. And this says they're standing outside knocking. Lord, they're talking to Him. They're asking Him. They're pleading with Him. You see, you're eating and drinking in the presence of the Lord will not help you. It doesn't matter in the end when you're knocking. Yeah, but Jesus, you taught in my streets. You may have even taught in my building. Lord, can you not hear me knocking? Lord? It doesn't matter that He taught in your streets. We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And He said, I tell you, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Yes, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Being a Christian by title is not enough in the end. It's not enough. That is not enough. When your works go through the fire, when you're standing there on judgment day, Lord, I ate in your presence. Lord, you taught in my streets. I saw you. I waved at you. But it's not enough. The reason I spoke of these tragedies at the beginning was to say we never know. Teenagers, college-age people, 13-year-old driver, 26-year-old coach, they didn't get up that day and say, Lord, if this is the day, probably most of them didn't get up and say, Lord, if this is the day, I pray that my actions, my example, my words to the people I come in contact with, my gestures on the highway are pleasing to you, Lord. Should this be the day? Oh, by the way, Lord, if they aren't, man, do you think you can give me just a minute, Lord, to ask for forgiveness? Do you think I could take time, Lord, just to pray and ask for you and the others to forgive me? They know I didn't mean it. I'll never see that driver again. I don't know. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But you're going to see Jesus. You're going to face the judge. And you've got to answer for your words and your actions, or the lack of. In Luke chapter 14, let's press on just a little further. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. I'm trying to connect these together here. It said, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' Then he said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant out at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, come, for all things are now ready." But they are all with one accord and began to make excuses. And the first one said, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them right now during banquet time. I ask you to have me excused as well.' Still another said, 'I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And then his master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.'" Bring the lesser, in other words. "And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded. And still, Lord, there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" You see, there's a banquet. There's plenty of room. And the next couple of verses talks about leaving all to follow Christ. Excuses. We all have them. We all can use them. I'm not talking about just church attendance. I'm talking about following Jesus. I'm talking about serving Jesus. I'm talking about serving His people. Being ready for our permanent house that's on the other side. So that our earthly work, when it goes through the fire, can be held up. It says in verse 25, "Now great multitudes went with Him. And he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Let me stop there for a minute. You know, the enemy comes in all different shapes and sizes. The enemy can look like our friends or our family or our co-workers, and they are just dying to make fun of our lack of progress, our stumbling in our Christian walk, our inability to stay faithful to the things we said we would do. lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Don't give the enemy room to slip in there. If you fall down, get up as quick as you can. I prayed earlier, even if we don't have our hand raised, Lord, that you would pick us up. I preached a couple weeks ago when they're down there for the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th time. Help a just man up. Verse 31 of Luke 14. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the others still a great distance off, he sends a delegation and he asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes thought. It takes pre-planning, post-planning. Doing things on the fly sometimes. You know, generally speaking, if someone has a crisis and they need you now, you're not going to have a whole lot of notice to respond to it, are you? The crisis is now. I need you now. I'm sorry, it's the middle of the night. I didn't plan this. Do you think you can call me tomorrow, say 10 or 11, when I'm awake and up and I had some coffee or something like that? It's not planned out. We have to be ready to serve and help and lift up. Kisha, that's why I thought, man, she just caught up in that song, maybe the beauty of it. But man, I was playing and praying, like I said. Man, Lord, if there's something just troubling her, give her peace. Let her know it's okay. And as it turns out, it is okay if a battery dies. We sing anyway, and we played, and I thought it was beautiful. But let me tell you, if we're just worrying about being a Christian by title, whew, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm going to heaven. When that roll is called up yonder, my name is on it. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. But it's not enough here on earth to just say, I'm a Christian. God calls us in His words to be so much more, to do so much more, to act differently. I'll close with this. In Luke chapter 14, the last two verses. And he calls us, by the way, to be light and salt in the world. And the last two verses say, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is what I thought today, as we looked at these verses, we have to figure out what road we're on. Is it that wide or narrow? And it could be we're on the wide road. Sometimes you've got to get on that thing just to find where the narrow road is. But if you miss that exit to the narrow road, you have got to get around and loop around. And I feel sometimes that's kind of the just man we were talking about the other day. They may have missed it and they've got to loop around. And they may loop around 4, 5, 6, 7 times when they stumble. But we've got to get off in that narrow path. And we've got to know in our souls when we knock and say, Lord, Lord, it is I. He's not going to question us and say, what are you doing here? I don't know you. You're a stranger. No, you came down my street and you preached on it, remember, and you taught on it. We ate and drank. It's not enough. When we leave here today, we cannot be useless, flavorless salt tomorrow. We can't be. Allow God to use us and ask God to use us. Remember, Aaron, you said, you got to be careful. If you ask God to use you, He may give you opportunity. He might give you opportunity. Oh, by the way, if you don't ask God to use you, He still might give you opportunity. Now, how are you going to respond to that? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray today that while we looked at this message, Lord, that we have a route in front of us. For those of us going down the wide path, Lord, to the wide gate with so many others, Lord, that You would pull us, You would draw us, You would put giant arrows pointing the direction to the narrow path. God, sometimes we see all that and we look right past it. So I pray today, Lord, that You awaken and open our eyes and our spiritual eyes to see these things. Lord, that when the banquet invitation is sent out, that we respond to it and we attend. Lord, that we bring others to the banquet. And that Your house is full. That the Master's house is full. Lord, with everything going on in the world around us, houses of worship should be filled. People should be asking for and begging for change in their life. To serve You, to follow You, to be faithful to You. Lord, today, for those that may feel like they are Your salt and Your light, but the light is weak and the salt has lost its flavor, Lord, I pray for an awakening today. Lord, I pray for a change today in their lives. A response that they don't want, that they don't ask for, that says, let me serve You. Let me work with You, Lord. Lord, draw me to others that can help me grow. But let us not leave this place as a useless disciple to be thrown out as tasteless salt. Lord, that is my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.